pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would grant unto us the eyes of faith to see the reality that this is the final event in history, but also that you reign now over all things. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords now. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of acknowledging that, that you do that work by your Spirit to show us that you are our Lord and that we bow the knee and confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We pray that you would enable us now as we enter into this account, as well as the account there in Matthew, that we would see Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Palm Sunday, and normally sermons would come from places like we read Matthew 21, or if someone was interested in the Old Testament prophecy of that, it would be Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Let me read that to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is written 500 years before the coming of Jesus Christ on a donkey into Jerusalem. Matthew understands this prophecy is fulfilled, and as we read that, but when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wasn't riding a white horse, was he? That was the normal mode of transportation for the king, for the champion, for the warrior king. He rode in on a white horse. But there we see in the account that he rode in on a donkey. And notice the statement, he comes lowly and riding a donkey. He came as king, but he came on a mission to save his people, to claim a kingdom, but the kingdom would be wrestled and won by his death. He came as a suffering servant, humble. He came to die. The disciples had a hard time with that, didn't they? Even when Jesus plainly told them this was going to happen, they said, no. Remember Peter? No, far be it from you. But no, he had to come. He had to humble himself. He became servant. Became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And now God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And our text today reveals that glory of Jesus as King of Kings. What we're looking at today is what Paul Harvey would say is the rest of the story. The story is the coming of Jesus in his first coming. The rest of the story is what we look forward to, the coming of Jesus Christ, his second coming. Remember, you confessed that this morning, didn't you? That he will come again to judge the living and the dead. You said that. You believe it? Well, here's the account when he comes. Are you ready? The main point there, if you have in the bulletin, how often in life do you feel overwhelmed or at least discouraged by the way things are going? How do you respond? You bring to mind the hope that has been given to you that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Or do fears arise and rob you of your peace? The book of Revelation is a book that some people are afraid of. I remember a woman in a church once said that. I don't read the book of Revelation because it scares me. But it's not intended to scare you. Oh, maybe it is to some degree in a good way, fear the Lord. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. There's actually a promise. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. God promises a blessing if you read, a blessing if you hear this word. It should be a book that we should read. The focus of the book of Revelation is not what's happening on earth. You understand that? Catch that point. The message of the book of Revelation is what happens in heaven affects earth. You understand that? There's worship in heaven and something happens on earth. There's worship in heaven and something happens on earth. That's the picture. That's the point of the book. Another way of saying it is heaven rules earth now. Now, if you've been with me when we did the book, work through the book of Acts, what was the summary of the book of Acts? Heaven rules earth now. Jesus rules earth now. What's the book of Revelation about? Jesus rules earth now. Common theme. Jesus is Lord. And so as we look at this particular revelation, it's referred to as the revelation of Jesus Christ. One way to look at the book is that different perspectives on the reign of Christ. So it shouldn't be a book to be feared. It should be a book to be embraced and rejoice in. And so we'll do so today. My first point, do not be afraid or dismayed by reason of the multitudes. If you look at the events just before this chapter, if you read before, there is a great war that's going on. There's great apostasy. There's great rejection of God. The kingdoms of this world warred and war against the King of Kings. If you look at chapter 13, God reveals, talks about them in what way? How does he talk about the kings and the powers and does he look at them as glorious men and shining armor and all? No, he looks at them as brute beasts. It's the same vision as Daniel. He saw these beasts. That's the kingdoms of this world apart from the sovereign rule of Christ. They are but brute beasts from God's perspective. Look at chapter 13. And then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads were a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And then verse 11, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercised the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly head was healed." That's God's perspective of the kingdoms of this world. They're a bunch of beasts. They're rebellious. Notice it comes through the sea, through the nations, through their civil governments. Notice the words heads and crowns and horns. Horns are the things that are a symbol for power and ability. And notice that statement. Who is able to make war with him? He has such great power. There's no human on earth can make war with this beast. And secondly, we have this other beast, which looks like a lamb, but with a silver tongue. Very subtle. He has Satan's mind and mouth. He's filled with anti-Christian wisdom, as James would say. Wisdom of this world is demonic, subtle, deceptive. And so we see these two picturing rebellious mankind warring against God. The goal, if you notice, what is the goal? What is their goal? To take away the faith of the believer. Why is it that it is unacceptable in our culture today to quote the Bible when you're discussing anything? Thou shalt not kill. Oh, you can't say that. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, you can't say that. You got to come up with logical reasons apart from the Bible to make your point. You can't use the Bible, can you? Why is that? Because there's a war against God. War against God's Word. Oh, you can keep your faith as long as you keep it in your church. keep it in your home. Don't you dare speak about your faith outside of home. Don't you dare be a Christian and be on the Supreme Court. Or don't you dare allow your faith to govern your decisions. The world is at war against God, against your faith. There are many false prophets in the world today. Many who say, this is the truth. I have the truth. My truth. Your truth. There is no truth. But the Word of God says, greater is He that is in you than is he who is in the world. And again, the hope is, we look forward to, and He will come again to judge the living and the dead. No matter what we face, no matter what you're dealing with, that truth is certain. He's coming to judge and to make all things right. There is a preacher, not theologically on board with him in many ways, but he once preached a sermon which I thought was fascinating. And in it, his message was, it's Friday, Sunday's coming. If you've ever heard that sermon. It's Friday, and he goes through and talks about what happened to Jesus on Friday. And it's very depressing what Jesus had to go through, the sufferings and death. But he kept saying, but Sunday's coming. But Sunday's coming. The resurrection is coming. Jesus' victory is coming. And so it is with us. The Lord will come again. And we look forward to it. What do we are told to pray? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do you pray that prayer? When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's in the Bible. Lord Jesus, reign from heaven. Second point. Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it is He who fights the battle. We didn't read all of 2 Chronicles 20, but if you go and you read that, the battle is against a multitude, and what do the people of God do? They go forth singing God's praises, and God destroys the enemy right in front of them. Amazing. Focusing on verse 11 of our passage. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Doesn't that bring comfort to you? He's not riding on a donkey anymore. He's coming as champion. He's coming as victor. He's coming as king. He's a warrior on the move. He's ruling with power. He's the commander of the army. And who's the army? You are. We are. The saints. He has a name, Faithful. Isn't that a great name? Jesus is faithful. Doesn't that bring comfort to you? Anything else? He's faithful. I may not be, but He is. He's faithful. He's true. He's truth. He's the Word of God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice that. Notice the contrast. The beast in Revelation 13:1, his name is blasphemy. How much blasphemy do you hear throughout the day? Words against God. Unrighteous words. And notice, in righteousness he does judge and make war. We see some of his qualifications. His eyes are like a blazing fire. He has the ability to see and judge human hearts. Isn't an interesting thought? We see that in the gospel accounts. Does Jesus know their thoughts? Does Jesus know your thoughts? Can you hide anything from Jesus? Isaiah chapter 11, it describes Jesus, the coming Messiah. It's a great account. Verse 3. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. He is a judge that knows the truth and can discern it without the need of witnesses, for he witnesses all. He has eyes as blazing like a fire. His head has many crowns. He is the legitimate king with authority from the Father. But notice also in the text, but his clothes are dipped with blood. He is the divine warrior. And who is with him? The armies of heaven, and clothed in white clothing. The righteousness of the saints. That righteousness is ultimately Jesus' righteousness imputed to them. We follow on white horses. Isn't that an interesting point? We follow with the authority, with the honor that Jesus has. How does he slay the nations? How does he exercise rule? What does it say? Out of his mouth comes a sword. The word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jesus' word is power. He is the word. And he rules. This is the one that we look for when we say, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's what we're talking about. I'm hoping that by drawing this picture, you'll remember that next week when we say he will come again to judge the living and the dead. You'll be thinking about this particular picture of Jesus. If you're his enemy, can you imagine how frightening it was to see this coming at you? He speaks and you die. And then you will stand before him in judgment and be cast into hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. My third point. Our hope and joy, his enemies shall be defeated and judged. Notice the battle. The battle is found in verses 17 through 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Now, why is he calling for these vultures and these unclean birds of the air to come? Because this battle wasn't a battle. It's a slaughter. There was no doubt who was going to win. The divine warrior, by one person, destroys all the multitude. We stop and we think about that one angel that killed 186,000 Assyrians. Jesus is more powerful than that angel. He destroys all his and our enemies. And notice we see this judgment in the lake of fire. The beast, false prophet, are cast into the lake of fire. The devil is cast into the lake of fire. He's not in charge of the lake of fire. He's suffering there. You understand that? But here's the comfort. This same divine warrior is with you, believer, every day of your life. What has he said? I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you. That's right. That same person who can speak and wipe out his enemies is at work. He's not sleeping with you. He's not laying around. He is ruling. Jesus said, all authority has already been given to me in heaven and earth. When did he say that? We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Before he ascended in heaven, he said, I already have the authority. And he ascended in heaven and received glory and honor. He's seated. You said this earlier, right? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's exercising rule now, and he will come again. Your victory in life is bound up with the same person. the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't feel very victorious in life. But yet I understand from the Word of God that I have victory in Jesus already by faith. My victory, your victory, is bound up with the Word of life, with Jesus. John, who wrote this revelation, also wrote the following in his first letter. 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. He refers to Jesus as the eternal life that was with the Father. Your life is bound up with His life. And notice verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you that you may have fellowship common with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are bound to Jesus. We have in common Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 4, he says, and these things we write to you that your joy would be full. Why are you struggling with sorrow and sadness and grumbling and hurting? And your joy is full in Christ. He goes on in verses 5 through 10 to speak of Jesus as the light, and through Him comes forgiveness. So what are we called to do? We're called to walk. We're called to live. We're called to live our lives for Jesus. Why? Because His enemies are against Him. Are you for Him or against Him? Are you His fellow soldier or His enemy? We're called to walk with Jesus, for Jesus, in obedience to Him. We say Jesus is Lord. That's not just a tag. That's the reality of our lives, I hope and pray. Is it? Is Jesus your Lord? Is He the boss in all things? Do you wake up in the morning and say, yes, sir, what do you want me to do today, sir? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord, that is my marching orders. How can I please You today? How can You live through me today? Are you identified with Him? Is that your identity? I belong to Jesus. Isn't that what the Catechism says? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to Jesus. That's the only comfort. No matter I live or matter I die, I belong to Jesus. That's all that matters. Do you belong to Jesus? Are you identified with Him? Are you confessing Him? Do you believe that He shall come to judge the living and the dead? Does this bring comfort? I hope it does. Does this bring joy? I hope it does. To close, I will like to read to you Paul's exhortation to the church in Thessalonica concerning the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, and now he begins, these are applications, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So what is he talking about? He's talking to soldiers who's on guard duty. You don't want to sleep when you're on guard duty. That's when the enemy creeps in. Do you know that there's an enemy of your soul that attacks you every day? Are you aware? There is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are you watching? Are you aware? Or are you simple? The Bible refers to the simple just march on and they're unaware of the destruction they walk into. Watch, he says. Be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. What is he talking about? He's talking about armor. He's talking about warfare. Putting on the armor of God. Do you put on the armor of God? Do you put on Jesus every day? For God has not appointed us to wrath. Oh, I love that statement. Isn't that a beautiful statement? God has not appointed us to wrath. That we just read wrath in Revelation 19. He's not appointed us to wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. When was the last time you said thank you to John or to Dan for being your elder? They admonish you. They live and they love. They love you. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. All of those exhortations, all of those commands are in light of the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus Christ. This is how we're to conduct ourselves. We're to love one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to rejoice always. Each one of those could be a sermon. But let's close. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending our Lord Jesus Christ so many years ago. He became a servant. He was a bondservant. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the curse of the cross. As we consider his riding into Jerusalem in fulfillment of prophecy that the king has come, and yet that king was slain by his own people, by those he came to save. And yet, Lord Jesus, you rose again, ascended into heaven, you sit at the right hand of God. You rule from heaven even now, and you will come again to judge the living and the dead. Pray that you would enable us to keep that in our minds, forefront of our minds, as we go about our day to day. That you reign, and you will complete the victory that you have already accomplished at the cross and the resurrection. And we pray that you'd help us to walk in that hope. And to do the things that you called us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourself. Strengthen and equip your church to be able to proclaim the truth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We pray this in His name. Amen.